As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
All right, 3:15 at WGCL, Glass in the Afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Rain has stopped for a moment. It's going to do this, then come back, and stop, and come back, and stop, and come back. We haven't had rain in a while, so we will enjoy it. And hopefully that will knock the dust off of everything. And, yeah, it's not going to be here on Halloween, so that's the good news. We'll take it today. If you'd like to see the Halloween forecast, you can do so. WGCLradio.com. 64 and mostly cloudy. Absolutely perfect for Halloween. All right, no fooling around now. It's time to talk MCCSC business, and who better to do that with than the superintendent of the Monroe County Community Schools Corporation. It's our great friend, Dr. Jeff Hoswell. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Did you have to dig out your umbrella today? It's been hiding. No use for it here over the last, 8 weeks or so, but
thank goodness, right? We've been needing the rain. So I'll tell you, I actually, on board meeting days, I order a coffee next door for me and my assistant. And so I braved it because my raincoat is Bloomington North Cougars. So here I am going to the local coffee shop on the south side of town with my Bloomington North Cougars raincoat. But it was raining, and it's good. We need rain.
That's it. And you were there. Tough, making sure that on that side of town, watch out. Oh, geez, look out.
One of the students asked me why I wasn't wearing it. I said, nobody from Bloomington South has given me a raincoat.
Well, there you go. You know,
what are you going to do, right?
You've got, again, that's a very solvable problem. So one for each day of the week. How many schools do you have in the corporation? 24?
Yeah, give or take. Yep.
Okay, well, you could have almost one for each day of the month. That would be would be something.
As much as it's been raining, or maybe one for each year, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now, we know this is a very busy time of year. Number one, it's the end of the month, so we have a school board meeting. We'll get to that momentarily. Right. Number two, it's even busier because we know there is a midterm election. That will be happening on Tuesday, November 8th. We know early voting has begun and is continuing. 302 South Walnut Street. You can only vote once. You can do that during the work week this week, and we will add Saturday. So the work week is 8 to 6. This Saturday will be 9 to 6. We'll worry about next week. But that's a very important midterm election for you and the MCCSC. Referendum is on the ballot. Tell us what we need to know.
Well, most importantly, we know that this community supports public education. They support MCCSC. We are asking them to vote yes for the referendum so that we can advance the great work we're doing and pay our teachers and our workers the salaries and wages they need and they deserve. 83% of our community has already indicated they support this, and 93% of our referendum funds go towards those purposes. Otherwise, we spend the rest of them on STEM and special education and the arts. But our salaries are not keeping up with inflation. We know that our hourly wages need to be a little bit higher. So what you need to know is that this referendum is a vote not only on the support for MCCSC, but it is supporting the people that are working every day to make education top rate in Monroe County. And that's what it is. And so average impact for a tax homeowner is about $125. It's a small amount, and it's a big investment. And we've been out knocking on doors and making phone calls, and we're getting a groundswell of support, and we really appreciate it. We know that this community values MCCSC and the work we do for our students, basically grades pre-K to 12.
And for the angle that, well, I don't have kids in the school corporation and I just moved here to retire, or I'm new to town and I'm not involved with any of this stuff happening, what's the retort there?
Well, it's an investment. And we know that every dollar spent on K-12 education is returned 20-fold in property taxes, reduces the school-to-prison pipeline, creates more productive and active citizenry, improves graduation rates, and it's an investment. And if you don't spend it on education, you're going to have increased costs throughout the society long-term. So it's an investment. And we always say that if you benefited from education, and we know that you likely did, then you know, we hope that you pay it forward, right? So
if you're having a if you can string two sentences together and figure out this is a good deal, you can thank a teacher.
You know,
that's right.
We talk about this, right? If we don't have enough bus drivers, and we've struggled with that, or enough workers, we can't pay them adequately, we have vacancies, it prohibits our ability to provide the quality education and the services needed. And so then buses are late, or we have to cancel school more often, and that impacts our community in a lot of ways. So even if you don't have students, we know K-12 education has a direct and indirect impact on you. And so it's a small amount it's a small amount with big returns. I can't think of a better investment to make right now.
Oh, that's a good
better
point.
Better than the stock market.
And the other part of this is for people who, and you know, we have so many people moving in and our community is expanding for what the university is, our friends at Ivy Tech are, the business community, everything else. And people say, well, why do we have to do that? Shouldn't the state handle that? It did in my previous place where I lived. Well, not all states work the same way. Would be my angle.
But the answer is yes. The state should do this. They should fully fund K-12 education. But currently, our levels of investment and state funding have not kept up with inflation. And some states do, some states don't. I mean, it varies by state. And some have higher property taxes. We are a low property tax state, and people like that. I mean, MCCSE is the eighth lowest school tax district in Indiana. Our base rate is 54 cents on the 100. The average rate in Indiana is $1.10. So we are under 50% of the average rate, and it goes all the way up to near $3 on the 100. We are a fiscally conservative school district that has very low taxes. And this is a way by which we slightly increase our referendum funds and put the money towards our staff. So again, this isn't a free-for-all in spending by any stretch of the imagination. We're asking for a small investment so that we can definitely continue to fully staff our operations and provide some support in STEM, the arts, and special education.
And we won't talk about what happens if it doesn't pass. We don't need
We won't discuss that.
We won't have to mess with that. Dr. Jeff Hoswald is our guest, the superintendent of the MCCSC. And one other very important thing to note, 2 weeks from today is Election Day, and 2 weeks from today, the MCCSC will not be in session because...
That's right. Because we have a professional development day that day, something that has happened over the last probably 5 to 8 years. A lot of schools have started not having classes on election days for a lot of reasons. Our schools, we want them to be community centers. A lot of them are used for voting, it can create complexities with polling places. You know, there's less parking. We have students there. There's security risks. So we're kind of following a trend in Indiana, and I understand, and that is that on Election Day, we don't have our school operations. But if you think about that for our support staff, and we have about 1,000 of them, it's an opportunity where they have the day off. They can many of them have the day off. They can go vote, and we have time, of course, in the day. We have a long lunch break for our teachers that are having professional development. We just want to encourage everyone to vote. We're not telling them how to vote, but we are encouraging them to vote.
Yeah, same for some of your high schoolers who have reached
that
magic age.
That's right.
They can work the polls.
We hope them to sign up too. Yeah, go work the polls. That's great.
That's what we used to do back in the old days.
Yeah, a few years ago.
That's exactly right. That's right. They punch the Chads. There's a hanging Chad.
Oh,
look out.
Goodness.
Look out.
I haven't heard that word since maybe 2000. So I just broke into a little bit of a. That's right.
These things happen. Dr. Jeff Oswald is our guest. So we want everyone to be aware that, no, we're not joking. Election Day on November 8th is not a day in school for the MCCSC. Too many moving parts, too many ins and outs would be the case, and that's just not.
And we come back for 8 days, and we're off for a whole week for Thanksgiving. So, we'll talk about
next time. You sound like my kids. They know exactly how many hours. Oh, well, then after that. Just two more of these and two more of those. Every parent in America wants to know why there's Halloween on a Monday night, for crying out loud. What are we doing here? Can we just shift the days around? The next time we do the calendar, can we just look ahead a little bit and say, oh, Halloween's on a Monday this year, and then it'll be on a Tuesday night next year, then a Wednesday, there'll be a leap year in there somewhere. Can we just throw those days after? We're fighting uphill, aren't we?
Nobody would be more grateful than our elementary school teacher.
That's what I'm trying to do. They would love you forever.
It's not October 31st. It's November 1st that we circle on our calendars.
Exactly. Well, they only pay attention for half the day on the 31st, and then the next day they are wiped out from sugar and everything else.
I know. People in my office have hidden the candy from me, so I don't know what that means.
You know, I got a friend, I got my buddy Alan Pease, the do-gooders from Kiwanis, brought me a whole coffee cup. Hear it?
Oh, man. You don't need...
That's half.
Are you rationing one piece a day?
No, not one piece. Let's have one potato chip an afternoon. Come on. I don't want him to spend money on me. I want him to spend it on all the wonderful programs Kiwanis helps out with. So no,
yeah, they do a lot of good work.
They do great work. So you give me the little bite-sized pieces, and that's exactly the problem. Now if they put a full candy bar in there, of course I'd only have one a day. Now I can have one an hour.
I know everyone's mentioned this before, but I don't like the big Snickers bar because I like to, in my mind, 10 to 12 of the small ones equals one big bar.
That's it. So you spread it over the day.
I'd do the same thing, yeah.
That's it. So. Candy season. This is great. Is it true? Let me make sure I've had this recording. Is it true that all candy must be supervised by every parent and teacher and sorted in a manner and then returned to the children? Is that what I'm hearing on the grapevine? Is that true? Is that true?
I haven't confirmed that, but I'm going to go with it.
Well, right? We'll start that at home, and if it catches on, we'll let everybody else.
Oh my. You're such a trendsetter, Mike.
Well, you got to do something. But that is a tough Tuesday. Tough Tuesday, November. November. What's on the school lunch menu that day? Brussels sprouts, greens,
No sugar cookies, that's for sure.
Absolutely right.
You just have to soak it up.
And everybody bring a pillow to school because you'll crash and take a nap.
Maybe we'll do an early release.
No, we don't want to do that. You do have a busy evening tonight, as you always do on the fourth and final Tuesday of each month. First off, let's get started. Next month is going to be different because of the fall break, the entire week off from the 21st through the 25th. So I'm guessing, and you're going to help me out here, you will have a quick turnaround and come back on November 15th. Would that be right? Or are you going to go the 29th after Thanksgiving?
We'll be on the 15th. So we tend to move it up.
Okay.
So I got another surprise for you. With your permission, I have a few more details. So I think I'm planning to be the one that calls in next week as well. So
fantastic.
I just want to push everyone to the finish. I have some other events we're celebrating I'd like to talk about, as well as that final push to get everybody to the poll. So
good.
And then on the 15th, you're right, that will be our board meeting date. So you're going to get to talk to me
three out of four. Oh, that's encouraging. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll have to get on my A game. I'll have to watch my candy intake so I don't fall over while we're having such wonderful discussions. Dr. Jeff Hoswald, you should know that voice by now listening to this program, is the superintendent of the MCCSC. And tonight is the board meeting. As we know, it is always at the CoLab, the MCCSC CoLab, 553 East Miller Drive, just north of South High School. And tonight, what are we talking about? What's on the agenda?
Well, most importantly, we're formally adopting our 2023 budget. It's a long process. We get input at other meetings, but we'll be finalizing that. And that includes a budget of $157,833,564, but who's counting? And that includes a lot of things. That includes, of course, our debt service that we use to build buildings like Tri-North. In the past, that includes our education fund to pay our teachers, our operation fund for our buses, and then our referendum fund. So there's a lot of numbers in there, but we are formally approving our budget for 2023, and that's probably the largest item on the agenda. We also continue to do district updates related to our strategic plan. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about professional development. We're going to update our community about the professional development we're doing. That's how we train our teachers, both on what to teach, how to teach, responsive teaching, and then how we're using technology to improve the work we do, and how we're trying to be informed, and so that we can really personalize learning for our teacher, for our students, and continue to accelerate learning for all students. We know some recent data has come out that is really beginning to let us see just how impactful, in a negative way, COVID has been for the disruptions, and you know, the states released some data in terms of a drop in overall scores. So we have a lot of work to do, and we have to be really intentional about what we teach. So we've really doubled down on professional development and really designed a robust system of professional learning opportunities for our teachers, and we're going to talk about that tonight.
It's National Principals Month. You've got a bunch of them. How about that?
Yeah, we do have a bunch. We've been celebrating that on our website and featuring different different principals. Every time when I look, I see one. I saw Dr. Mobley was featured today out at Unionville.
Did you hear that I had to kick her off the show the other day? Did you hear that?
No, but she
did. She mention that?
You know, she's awesome, and she starts talking about the work that they are doing, particularly some of their outdoor programs. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but recently they had a salad day, and Dr. Mobley brought stuff from her garden, and the community pitched in, and everyone celebrated and had basically farm-to-table or garden-to-table salads, and they're just doing great stuff. I was out there last Friday and had a chance to visit and check in, and, you know, we're in the process of building a little outdoor learning area for them. You know, there's a lot of great things going on.
Well, I missed all that because I had a bumper off the show. It was the afternoon where the guy was in the sewer causing all that problem.
Oh, man.
So I would like to have her back on because they have so many great things. Yeah, they've got so many great things going on out there.
It's more fun to talk about Unionville Elementary.
Well, exactly, than terror in the city. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It reminds me of my days in French class in junior high. We used to read this book called The Monster in the Metro, and you know I probably don't know what it's about because my French wasn't very good. But nonetheless, it kind of reminds me of that. So, you know.
Yeah, so we'd love to have Dr. Mobley back on anytime she would like to come on.
We'll add her into the rotation.
Let's make sure we know, because I'd hate to. Because that's a new position for her, too, so that's exciting.
It is. She's doing amazing work out there.
Good.
She seems happier than ever. I was out there, and she said, I didn't realize how much I missed working directly with students.
Now, I promised you last time, and you probably don't remember because you've had 100,000 things to do. I was going to ask you about your MCCSC High School Career Pathway Guide. Is that something that's new? Or tell me about that. My kids, thankfully, and I'm glad it's going a little bit slower, are not to that level just yet. Who is this for? Who developed it? And what are we doing?
Well, it's been developed internally through our curriculum department. And it's really significant because as the state has changed pathways, and that's how we graduate, how we earn a diploma, there's a lot more steps. And so we're getting it out earlier and younger to families. It's an amazing publication. And you can get a digital copy online, but you can also ask if parents would like to see one. You can call our office or call your principal's office. But it kind of walks through both the buckets, so how you earn it, what type of diploma you earn, such as a general core 40, academic honors, or technical honors, how you work on the second bucket, those employability skills, so that's through project-based learning or service-based learning or work-based learning. We have a lot more students doing internships than ever before. And then also that they're post-secondary ready. So that can be through an honors diploma. It could be through an industry credential that you earn through the Hoosier Hills Career Center. It could be through pre-college credit or through an exam such as SAT or ACT. So what we've really been focusing on is what is this profile of an MCCSE graduate? And I like it, right? We're reminding people that they need to think critically. They need to create digitally. They need to communicate effectively. They need to invest locally. Think internationally and act globally. So, and it all fits to how we engage, empower, and educate. And so as you work through this this information, what we're really doing is starting to highlight a lot of the career pathways we have. And, you know, bear with me, you know, health sciences, for example. I mean, we've got programs in biomedical science, emergency medical services, medical assistant, pre-nursing, healthcare specialist. And for each of those, for the pre-nursing programs, for example, we talk about what these concentrator classes are. So you take principles of healthcare, medical terminology, healthcare specialist, CNA class, and then a capstone class. And we talk to them about what the principles of healthcare are, what the different terms are, and what these classes look like. But basically, we're trying to encourage families to really consider what a career pathway they may want to focus on in high school. But that is still, at the same time, while maintaining our solid foundation in liberal arts education, where we're really teaching our students to communicate, to reason, and to really focus on a lot of those basic skills that are needed for them to be successful, and while encouraging them to continue their education between K-12. After K-12, we know that Indiana recently has seen a dramatic decline in the number of students pursuing post-secondary education. And we're really working to change that. We want our students to go on to post-secondary college education, university. It could be a two-year program or some sort of
post. Yeah, you don't care which kind. You just want them to keep going, right?
That's right. We want them to understand the importance of really continuous and lifelong learning and continuing to further their education beyond high school, because we know students that do so will have lifetime wages significantly higher than those that don't.
That's exactly right. And if it doesn't all come materialize together at the same time, great partner in Ivy Tech
right.
to make sure you can go
that's
back
right.
and deal with that.
That's
one last
exactly
thing before
right.
I let you go. I think that's we're on the same pathway there.
Yeah.
In the education department, you're trying to get more teachers and trying to start them kind of and get them on a program. What is this program where you're partnering, and what are you trying to accomplish there? Is that keeping the pipeline filled for the district?
Well, we have a couple programs. One of them is the Grow Your Own, and it's been highly popular. We hire people to be paras, and we train them, and we put them through programming to get their teaching license. So we know if we identify someone in our community that wants to be a teacher, we help them get there. But we're also working with IU to provide supplemental and extended learning opportunities, and that's with our student teachers. That's with IU undergrads, and our IU undergrads worked with us to provide over 6,000 hours of one-on-one instruction for our students in our school. And so the more we partner, the more we use our community resources, the more we can individualize some supplemental support for students, we can accelerate learning for those students, and we get a lot of our college students that are interested in education careers familiar with our district because we want them to stay. We always say this, GYOKTV, grow your own, and keep the visitors. And the first program I told you about is growing our own and getting people with teaching licenses that live in our community. The second program is engaging with the college community, identifying people interested in education, having them partner with MCCSC with the idea that they're visitors and we want them to stay here in Monroe County so that we don't have the teaching shortages that are being seen elsewhere in the state of Indiana and nationally.
That's it. That's all you got. That's all you got.
That's it.
All right. Back
That's
to
it.
Work. Back to work. No more goofing around with me. We will talk to you to next week, right? Next week. And
That's right. And
the 15th. Well, geez, I'm going to have to get to work then. We will get everybody ready for
to talk to you about next week. Some of the events going on. We'll talk sports. We'll talk National Latinx Heritage Month. And we'll talk about some partnerships we have with 4-H and some of our farm to school field trips. Just a whole laundry list. We'll talk next week. How's that?
We'll bring the extra candy that you've confiscated on November 1st. That is next Tuesday, and we will make
it.
Sure we'll enjoy all of that. Thanks for your time. I know you're busy. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
And if anybody has any questions, follow along, mccsc.edu. You can see previous board minutes. You can see the agenda for tonight. You can see all the great things that are going on. Thanks, Dr. Hoswell. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your support.